On behalf of the family, I'd like to thank you all for joining us here today. As a reminder, if you do have a cell phone on you today, we would ask that you please take that out and place it into silent mode or turn your device off entirely. We will now begin today's service with opening words from Pastor Doug Keppel. Thank you.
We're here today to remember and celebrate the life of Monica Powell. And at times like this, we need comfort. The only place we find that comfort is in the Lord. And so we're going to start the service with prayer. And as we do that, I'm going to ask her brother, Vernon Murray, if he would come on up. And he's going to open the service in prayer for us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to be able to come into your presence, to the throne of grace in time of need, to come into the presence of one who is not only the sovereign creator of all that exists, who himself holds the keys of life and death, and who rules over everything. And yet also to come into the presence of this Holy One that has adopted sinful creatures into his family through Jesus Christ and opened the chamber room to him in order that we might be able to come into your presence boldly and seek grace in time of need. And Father, this is a time of great need. It is a time that we are confronted with our mortality. We are confronted with our frailty and our weaknesses. And so, Father, we are bowing before you to seek grace in time of need. At this time, our hearts are enlarged with sorrow as we bid goodbye to a beloved one, my sister. And Father, as the bitterness sweeps over us and overwhelms us, we strain to hang on to those truths that are in your word. And sometimes those emotions the anguish and the sorrow overwhelm us so that we start to lose your truth veiled behind all the storm clouds. And so, Father, as we begin this service today, we pray that you would draw our mind and attention through your Holy Spirit back to the truths and the promises of God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is what Monica hoped in. That is what she walked by faith in. And today she beholds and walks by sight. We thank you for that, Father, that even in this time of bitterness, there is a sweetness to it. As we rejoice in her going home to be in your presence forevermore. And so, Father, I pray for the family today, for my mother, for Callie and Lexi, Caleb, Garrett, Ethan, and our extended family, that you would comfort our hearts through your word as we try to deal with this loss in our lives. I pray, Father, that you would minister through your servant, the pastor here, as he brings us words of comfort and draws our minds once again back to you. Father, we are reminded again today that, as the Apostle Paul said, if Christ is not risen, then we are above all people to be most pitied. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied. But then he reminds us that Christ has indeed risen. And because of those, his promises are sure. And we have that hope of glory and that hope of resurrection that is through him. Because he promised us, because I live, you shall live also. And we rest on that today, Father, that blessed hope. And pray, Father, that it would be a sure and steadfast anchor for our souls during this time. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for Jesus Christ, through whom this grace and mercy flows to us each and every day. And I do pray, Father, that you would give the family strength for each new day, mercy for each new day in the days to come. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Monica Renee Murray Powell, who was 52, passed away on Wednesday, November the 3rd, 2021. She was born on June 18th, 1969, to her parents E. Vernon Murray and Linda G. Robinson Murray. She graduated from Morristown High School in 1987, and she attended Liberty University. She was a homemaker, and she enjoyed taking care of her family. She was a 22-year member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Indianapolis. She was an incredible cook, an avid shopper. She loved all crafting. Had a lovely voice and loved to sing. She enjoyed music and reading. She enjoyed and loved spending time with her family. And many that knew her as one of the kindest people they'd ever meet. She's survived by her children, Callie, Lexi, Caleb, Garrett, and Ethan. Her mother, Linda Murray, her siblings, Vernon Murray, his wife Tracy, Nikki Chisholm, her husband Jeff, Davina Odom, her husband Brad, 4 nephews, 5 nieces, 2 great nephews, and 3 great nieces. She's preceded in death by her father, E. Vernon Murray, and 1 unborn child in heaven. When I think of Monica, we have known the Powells for a long time, been close family friends with them. And when I think of her, I do think of a kind woman, and I think of a woman that served. She served her family, first of all. She was always taking care of her children, and not just around the house and her home, but in homeschooling them and being there for them. She served her Lord. I remember her singing there at Lighthouse Baptist Church and helping with other things that went on at the church and helping with dinners and different things. She served him. She would do anything for anybody. She was a servant by nature, and she definitely taught her children to be the same way. And they are servants as well, and they learned that no doubt from Mom. There's a couple of her children that would like to come and say some things before some songs, and so first to come and speak will be Caleb, her oldest son.
In the Bible, it says, for the children to honor their father and mother. And for just a little bit, if the Lord will help me, that's what I'd like to do. My mom taught me a lot of things, but one of the most important things she taught me, the most important thing, was about faith. So, the Lord put this on my heart. Monday and Tuesday, and if you'll help me for just a little bit, I'd like to talk about a mother's faith and how a mother's faith enables her children to serve. So, in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and dubbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done of him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away, and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. There's a lot of similarities I find in Moses' mother that my mother shared. So, just a brief, very brief introduction for those of you that may not know. Before this passage, the children of Israel, the land was going through a famine. The children of Israel, they were running out of food, and God set it up for them to be invited into Egypt by putting an Israelite, Joseph, second in command to Pharaoh, second over the entire land. They came into Egypt. They dwelled there. They grew. They became a mighty people, and they filled the land. And it says in chapter 1 of Exodus that there rose up a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph nor his people. He put a decree in place to have all the male children of the Israelites put to death. And in the first few verses of Exodus, we see that even in this time, even with the possibility of their child being put to death, the couple still decided to have a child. And in verse 2, we see in verse 2, a mother's love is shown to us. In verse 2, and a woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw he was a goodly child, she hid him three months. The law was for the child to be killed. But she loved the child so much that she refused to get rid of him, and she hid him 3 months. That's not an easy thing to do, especially back then, with a weeping child. But for her, with her love for him, she refused for him to be killed. And for him to be put to death. And she risked her life and her family's life and decided to hide him 3 months. In verse 3, we see a mother's dedication. When the child was too big to be hidden, when it became too much of a burden, or it became, I don't know if maybe someone found out about the child, but he could no longer be hidden from him. And she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dubbed it with slime and with pitch. And she took to make a safe place. She took the time to make a safe place for her with her dedication for him. I don't believe if you can picture her going to the river to pick the bulrushes, I don't believe for 1 minute that she just went down and just picked up what was laying there. I think she took the time to carefully look through and select what would work best for him, the strongest, the ones that were the healthiest. But she took the time to make a place of safety for him, a place of protection, a place that would protect him from the things that would harm him. For the end of verse 3, we see a mother's faith. And put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. She had faith in the ark. She took him, put the ark in the water, and put her child in the ark. She had faith in her work in the ark. I guarantee you that that ark, when she dubbed it with slime, there wasn't a spot that she missed. It had to be completely protected, or else it would leak, and the child would drown. And she had faith in God. It would take a lot of faith to sacrifice your child for that. To put your child into an ark, one that was to be waterproof would have to be airtight. It was not very big, so the child couldn't have had more than just a few minutes. 10, maybe 15 minutes being as small as he was, but that takes a lot of faith. And the Nile River is infested with alligators. There are things that could have harmed him. She had faith in God that he would be safe. Verse 7 through 10, we see a mother's sacrifice. A lot of people would say, well, that's a gift to the mother, her getting her child back. But in getting her own child back, she never even got to name him. She did not get to openly claim him as her child. To Pharaoh and to the child, she was just another Israelite woman. But even in the short time she had with Moses, she took the time to instill in him a godly heritage, his heritage, and a godly purpose for his life. And lastly, I want to look at a mother's reward, because she does have reward for her faithfulness, her love, and her dedication. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 through 29. To a lot of people, this is known as Hebrews Hall of Faith. Verse 23 says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses' life was a tribute to his mother. Moses' faith was taught to him by his mother. The person that showed him God, that led him to God, that directed him to God, was all because of his mother, a faithful mother. It was his mother's love for him, his mother's dedication to him, his mother's faith in God, and his mother's sacrifice of what she wanted for what was best for him. All of this started Moses' life in the direction to serve God and to allow God to use him. If it hadn't been for the love of my mother, that he had for me, hiding me and protecting me from the world. If it hadn't been for my mother's dedication, my mother did not have to make an ark of bulrushes for me, but she did pray an ark around me, a hedge of protection around me. It was not one in the physical world, but it was one of spiritual. her dedication to make a godly home and to put us in a safe place and to raise us in church. If it hadn't been for her faith in God and the church and the home she built, if it hadn't been for her sacrifice of her time and the things she wanted for what was best to me, if it had not been for all these things, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be a born-again child of God. I would not love my Savior. I would not know my Savior and my blessed Redeemer. I wouldn't know the Lord's will for my life, and I would not be in the Lord's will. Right now I am, and that's thanks to my mother. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. My mother did her part in training me up in the way that I should go. And I have not yet, nor with the Lord's help will I ever depart from it. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. My mother was a blessing in my life. And if it hadn't been for her, I would not have the hope and the assurance that I would see her again. So I want to thank the Lord for my mother, for her faith, and for the way she raised me.
Garrett, Monica's other second son, is going to come and say something. Sorry. Caleb is going to sing at this point, and then Garrett will go.
Reunion promised in time. We will be with them far longer than we were without, no doubt. No more tears in our eyes in that beautiful, wonderful hello after goodbye.
Garrett's going to come share some things, and then he'll sing as well.
As I think about my mom, first of all, I think about how she loved life. The simplest things made her so happy. She loved flowers and color. Until recently, if you'd come to our house, you would see that each room was painted a different color, if not multiple colors in each room. She loved sparkle. Just a few months ago, she walked in showing off a pair of turquoise sparkly sneakers. And we told her, "You cannot wear those." To which she replied, "Oh, yes, I can." And oh, yes, she did. She loved McDonald's Coca-Cola. Every Sunday after church, we'd have to go through and get her one. And if she was dieting, if she wasn't dieting, basically every time she went out. She loved rainy and snow days as long as she could just stay home and watch. She loved fall. She loved the color of the leaves. She really loved something about every season. She loved God. Through everything my mom went through, she stayed faithful. As kids, she always took us to church. She spent time with God daily. I remember, especially during the hard times, she'd spend hours in her room praying, reading her Bible, and listening to Christian music, to the point where sometimes we'd wonder if she was ever going to come out. Thinking about her faith through all the hard times is a big part of what gives me strength to stand here now. If it wasn't for her, me and my siblings may never have come to know Christ as our Savior or have the love for Him that we do today. She loved family. She loved all our family get-togethers during holidays, staying so late that all the men were falling asleep while the ladies talked and the kids played games. She loved all the cookouts, just sitting around the fire making s'mores and talking. She loved spending time with her kids. Over the past couple years especially, if we all got some free time, you'd probably find us playing board games, card games. Sometimes we'd even get her to play some video games. So we just hung out and had a good time. If we ever needed to talk, she was always there to listen, to be a guide and an encouragement. She was one of the most unselfish people I've ever known. We actually have a video of her attempting to take a selfie with my sister. She tried, then everyone just started laughing, and she said, "I can't do it." And that's how she was. She never had to be the center of attention. She just wanted to be with us. As I stand here today, I feel sorrow for all the things that she's going to miss. All the phone calls that I can't make. All the hugs that I'm going to miss. The laugh that I won't hear and the smile I won't see. But I feel joy because I know she's in a better place. Because she with her Savior. She's with her dad and that child that she never got to meet and all the loved ones that have gone on before. She has no more care or sorrow, no pain, and she'll never have to worry again. And I have joy because I know that I'll see her again someday and we'll never have to say goodbye. But most of all, I'm thankful. Thankful for all the love she showed us. Thankful for all the lessons she taught us. All the listening she did. For all the time we had. And all the faith that she instilled. Thankful that I can call her my mom. The song I'm about to sing, the night that she went home to be with the Lord, just kept going through my mind.
If I had only known known the last time would be the last time. I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you. Cause there's a wound here in my heart where something's missing. And they tell me that it's gonna heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased. Knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight and your race is run. The pain's all a million miles away. The only scars in heaven won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. Thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. There's not a day goes by that I don't see you. You live on in all the better parts of me. Until I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight this fight and this race I'll run. Until I finally see what you can see. The only scars in heaven won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now.
This time we're going to look at the Word of God and pray about what God would have for me to share today as we celebrate and remember Monica's life, or just some things that Monica would want you to know. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse 1, the Bible says, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. Unfortunately, physical life, as wonderful and blessed a gift as it is, part of it is physical death. Because God gave us life, we will all face a physical death.
We're here celebrating Monica's life because she's went home to be with the Lord. As we get ready to look to God's word, let's go ahead and ask his blessing before we do that. Father, we love you. Well, I pray that you would just once again help in the remainder of the service, God, as we just look to your word, find some guidance and some comfort, or some things that no doubt Monica would want everyone here to know and everyone here to hear. I pray, God, that you would just use these words from your word to be a comfort to these people. God, help me as I share them today. Lord, just give me the words to say. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of speech. We'll give the honor, glory, and praise for what you do. I do pray again that your grace and comfort and peace would be here with the family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing, there's no question that she would want all of us to remember and all of us to know, is that life and death are in God's hands. Life and death are in God's hands. We live in a very unprecedented time in human history, and there have been many sources that for the last couple of years have done everything they can to convince all of us that somehow we can control things we can't control. The only thing that leads to is more questions and more trying to understand things that aren't ours to understand. But life and death are in the hands of God. The beginning and the end of life is up to God. He's the one that determines those things. In Job chapter 1 and verse 21, after all of Job's children had lost their lives, Job said this, and said, "Naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave," referring to the life that the Lord had given his children and all that God had given him, "the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job didn't spend any time trying to figure out things that he knew were beyond what he could understand. He knew God had given the life. He also knew that God had saw fit for their lives to end when they did. With that, it's perfectly human and normal and natural that we do wonder. We do not understand. We do have questions. Why now? Why this way? Especially with someone so young. The second thing about life and death being in God's hands is that we're not able to understand why God does what he does or why he allows what he allows. That's beyond our ability to comprehend. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says God. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Obviously, there's things that make sense to us as people. There's things that we understand, things that we reason out the way we would handle and do things. God makes very clear in verse 8, his thoughts aren't our thoughts, and his ways aren't our ways. He goes on in verse 9 to explain it further when he says this, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God there saying, what he does and what he allows and who he is beyond what we can comprehend or understand. He's an infinite, all-knowing, all-powerful God. And we're finite, frail, mortal people. Because of that, we don't have to understand God or what God does or allows. We just have to trust him. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." The Bible is very clear that we need to trust the Lord. We're not always going to understand. We're not always going to have the answers. It's not always going to make sense. And in times like this, it doesn't. Not to us. And the Lord knows that. We just have to trust that he knows far more than we know. And he always does what is best for us and what brings glory to him. The second thing, not only is life and death in the hands of God, but secondly, we need to know, and Monica would want us to know, that she's with the Lord. She's with the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." It's not a trivial thing to the Lord when it's time for one of his to come home. It matters. It's precious to him, the Bible says. she's with the Lord, we need to remember that she's not here behind us. It's her earthly house. It's where she lived for the 52 years of life on this earth that the Lord allowed her to have. She's with him this morning. When she closed her eyes in this world, she opened them with her Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Another thing that we'll never fully understand how it all works, but the Bible is very clear. For those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, which was Monica's testimony, that she knew him and she walked with him. When our eyes close in this life, they open with the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's with him even now. As she's with the Lord, we need to remember she's better than ever before. At the end of her life, she battled and dealt with an extended illness. And it was no doubt a terrible thing for her to go through and for her family to have to see her go through. But she's not dealing with any of that right now. In her life, as her sons both talked about, and anyone that knows her knew, she had hard times like everyone does. She went through some difficult things. She faced some trials that were very hard for her to go through. And God brought her through them in this life. But now, she's not dealing with any of those things. The Bible tells us in Revelation 21:4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Talking about heaven, and of course talking about when we're all there for eternity. But the principle applies for where she's at even now. When it says this, there shall be no more death. No more death to deal with. Neither sorrow. Job said, man, it's a few days and full of trouble. A lot of sorrow in this life. No doubt Monica did as well. She has no more sorrow. Nor crying, the verse goes on and says. We all shed many tears, often at occasions like this and circumstances like this one. There's no crying in heaven. Neither shall there be any more pain. More pain in any way. Physical pain, emotional pain, no more pain. For the former things are passed away. She'd want everyone here to know she's with the Lord. She's doing very well, better than she's ever been. And as much as we will miss her, and especially those closest to her will miss her the most, the truth is, as I talked to a couple of her children about even last night, is she wouldn't come back if she could. And we wouldn't want her to. Because where she is, we want to go. We don't want her to have to come back here and deal with the things of this life. The third thing she would for sure want all of us to know and be mindful of is that we do mourn, but for our loss, not for her. We mourn for our loss, not for her. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse 13. The Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Anytime we have loss in this life and we lose someone we love, and a friend, a family member, someone that's close to us, it's impossible to have that happen and not have great sorrow and grief, because that's part of who we are. It's part of how God created us. We have feelings and emotions. And so we sorrow, and that's perfectly all right. The Bible says there in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. It doesn't tell us not to sorrow. Grief is absolutely part of life. When we lose a loved one, we grieve, we hurt, we mourn, and that's okay. But she would want you to remember, you don't mourn for her. There's nothing she'd have you mourn about where she's concerned. Because again, she's with the Lord. And we have a hope that we know she's there because she put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, this morning, Monica would want us to know that we should let God use her homegoing in our life. That we should let God use her homegoing in our life. One of the things in situations and circumstances that we struggle with understanding and wrapping our brain around, like the loss of a loved one and in circumstances that don't always make sense to us, we
We try to find meaning. We try to find purpose, and that's part of being human. But I can tell you, according to the scripture, there is purpose and there is meaning in God taking her home. Not just for her, but for everyone that knew and loved her. And that purpose and that meaning being fulfilled is up to each and every one of us that are still here. Letting God do through her death what he wants to do. Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It doesn't just mean the good things in life. It means everything in life. Everything we deal with and everything we face, God can use for our good if we'll just let him. First of all, if you know the Lord as your personal Savior, if you know Jesus Christ like Monica did, she would want you to use her homegoing to draw closer to him. James chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. In times like this, the only place you find real help, the only place you find real comfort, the only place you find real peace is an almighty, all-loving God. In order to find that and have that, we have to draw close to him. We have to draw close to him. For you, her children specifically, I have no reservation in saying, and the boys have already said it, she would want you to walk with and serve the Lord like she did. That's what she would want. It's what she wanted when she was here. It's still what she wants while she's with the Lord. And if she could be here today, that's what she would tell you. To take this, and not to let it draw you away, but to let it push you closer to the God that can help get you through it. She'd want all of us that knew and loved her and know the Lord as our Saviors to serve him more as a result of her homegoing. Another thing she'd want you to know is that if you don't know the Lord, she'd want you to know him. She'd want you to know him. James 4:14, the Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Physical life is so fleeting, goes so quickly. The length of it doesn't change the fact that it goes quickly. When we come to a circumstance like this, when we're remembering the life of someone who's went on before us, we're very mindful of the fact that life is short, like that vapor. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 says this. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The reason that her children can get up and talk about knowing where she's at, the reason I can get up and talk about being confident where she's at, is not because of what kind of person she was. Though as we've heard, she was a great lady. It's not because of how she loved other people. Though we've heard, no doubt, that's who she was. It's not because of anything she did or anything she was. We all are confident she's with the Lord because she put her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There had been a specific time in her life when she realized she was a sinner. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, as it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. All humanity, we're all sinners. Every human being ever born, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, are born sinners. The Bible goes on in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 to say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't make it to heaven the way we are as sinners. It's not because God doesn't want us to be with him for all eternity. He does. It's because he can't be in the presence of sin. He's holy. He's righteous. Because of that, God had to make a way to deal with not only Monica's sin, but my sin and the sins of all our humanity. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the beginning of the verse says, for the wages of sin is death. Because we're sinners, we owe a payment. That payment's to die and be separated from the Lord for all eternity, in a place the Bible calls hell. That was never God's will, nor his desire for mankind. And he did absolutely everything he possibly could to make sure that no human being would ever have to go there. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his robe and crown, left the splendors of heaven, robed himself in human flesh, limiting himself in a way that I don't think we'll ever understand, so that he could live a perfect sinless life and lay that life down on Calvary and shed his precious sinless blood, rise again the third day according to the scriptures to secure a home in heaven for all and any who would put their faith and trust in him. The second half of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "But the gift of God, the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Any human being can know they're going to heaven and spending an eternity there. Not because of how they live, not because of who they are, certainly not because of what they do, but by putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and having a personal relationship with him. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13 of Romans 10 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If there's someone here hearing my voice that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing Monica would want more through her homegoing than someone that knew and loved her to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and secure their home in heaven so they could see her again one day and spend an eternity with her and her Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, don't leave without talking to somebody and making sure that you've done what the Bible says you have to do to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then lastly, if you know her as your Lord and Savior, we will see her again. We will see her again. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 57, the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, those that have gone on before us. And we shall be changed, if we happen to still be here at that day when he returns for his bride. Those that have died before us will be raised incorruptible, and those of us still here will be changed on our way to heaven. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." If you know him as your Lord and Savior, you share the same victory over sin, death, and hell that Monica did. And if she's with the Lord now, if you know him as your Savior, you'll see her again one day. And you'll see him as well. Let's take comfort in these things. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Some things Monica would want us to know. Before we move on and close the service with what's planned next, very pressed to just ask, is there anyone here? Nobody's looking but me, I promise you that. Just raise their hand and say, "I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know for sure that I'll see her again, but I'm concerned about it." If that's you, if you just raise your hand, I just want to pray for you. I'm not getting embarrassed. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you. Anybody like that? And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior during times like these, take comfort in the fact that you'll see Monica again. And we'll spend all eternity with him. Our Father, we love you. God, we thank you so much that you love us. And that your love for us, God, goes beyond what we can even comprehend. Lord, that that you sent your son to die on Calvary's cross and rise again the third day, according to the scriptures, that we could have eternal life. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, even though there are no hands raised, I do pray once again, if there's anyone hearing this that doesn't know you, that God, they wouldn't leave this place without talking to somebody and settling their eternal destiny. God, we thank you for the life that you gave to Monica. Lord, the impact she had on all those that knew and loved her. God, I do pray now for those of us left behind. God, first and foremost, I pray for her children. I pray for Callie and Lexi and Caleb and Garrett and Ethan. That God, your presence would be very real in their lives each and every day as they go on. As your word says, your mercies would continue to be new every morning. God, that your love would be evident in each day of their life, that your peace would give them the rest necessary, and God, that your strength would enable them to go on and do exactly what their mother would have wanted, which is to live for you with every day of their life. I pray that you'd use this in their lives to draw them closer to you, make them more like Jesus Christ. God, for her mother, her siblings, and her extended family, God, I pray the same. That you would just bless each and every one of them, Lord, and give them what is necessary each day as they go on with this life. Missing, Lord, a dear one to them. God, for the rest of us that are friends and family, I pray, God, that you would just help us to look to you and let you draw us closer to you through Monica's homegoing. God, help us through this to focus mainly on the fact, God, that we know where she is. She's with Jesus Christ better than she's ever been. Help us not forget that. Lord, help us cling to the good times and the good memories that you gave us with her here on earth. Lord, as we go through the rest of the day and then the remains of the days, I just pray that you would once again just have your will and way, that your grace and comfort would be very present and very evident in our lives. God, I pray that you would bless as we close with the song, and bless everything else that's said and done today, and get glory to yourself through it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This time, Garrett is going to come and lead us in a song.
Have one of these. The song is on the inside.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that high golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Thank you.
once again, I'd like to thank you all so much for joining us here today. And on behalf of everyone here at the mortuary, we'd just like to tell you what an honor it's been to serve your family during this time. Just a couple of brief announcements for those of you that will be joining us in procession to the cemetery. We do ask that you please make sure to utilize your bright headlights and four-way flashers. And please make sure to remain as close to the vehicle in front of you as safety permits. For those of you that will be serving as pallbearers, we do ask that you please gather just outside these double doors. You'll find a sheet for you to print your name, and you'll be given a pair of white gloves as well. At this time, we do ask that you please come forward to pay your final respects to Monica, and then you may be dismissed to your vehicles after that. Thank you.